Doom do 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 do. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 36 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. I hope you're just having the most wonderful, plantiest week of sunshine and growth and fun as the fall starts to kind of creep in on us. I had a real plant lady win this week because I made my first homemade moss poles for my Monstera and my new exciting plant love. I finally got my hands on a Raphidophora tetrasperma. These poles were so fun to make, and it was really fun to get my hands dirty, and I'm really excited to see how my plants benefit from them, because we have to remember, these plants were climbing on trees before they were sitting in our apartments. Stay tuned, because you might be hearing a how-to episode on how to make your own moss poles in the future. So I am so excited to be welcoming my OG, very first plant friend in real life, Alessia from Apartment Botanist. Before I tell you a bunch of lovely things about Alessia, I just wanted to do a quick announcement. This is going to be the last week that I leave the listener survey open to you guys. To those of you who have already completed it, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the 5 minutes to fill it out and let me know your hopes and dreams for your plant collections. I can't tell you how helpful it is for me to read through these surveys. Hearing from you really helps me decide what topics to choose for season 3 and how else I can show up for you and help you grow your urban jungles, maybe in some cities near you. Hint, hint, maybe not. I don't know. So if you haven't filled it out, the link to the survey is in the podcast bio. Please take 5 minutes of your planty lives to complete it and continue listening to this episode. So if you have been listening to the podcast at all, you'll probably have heard me mention Alessia from Apartment Botanist before. We met online when I was fawning over one of her Pilea peperomioides back in the day when they were really hard to find, and the rest is kind of history. So what was initially an online friendship through Instagram DMs, which were basically mostly Alessia just helping me in my really beginning stages of my plant collection, really blossomed into a beautiful in real life friendship. Alessia is such an important part of this plant community because this girl just has one of the most generous hearts I know out there. I mean, even though her account has grown more and more, I know she just takes time to help whoever needs help and answer as many questions as she can. But she's also the first person to pre-order somebody's new plant book or order someone's new plant pin or support a GoFundMe or support somebody's new planty project. This girl just shows up for people. And I just think she's a great example of what this community can be for people. And I feel really lucky to call her my friend. So this conversation might have some more giggles than normal because it's a very educational conversation, but we're also just two plant friends sitting on a couch talking about our plants. But in this conversation, Alessia just shares so many tips on how to have a large plant collection. She has a very large plant collection in a very small space, and also how she incorporates humidity into her space, which is, I think, something a lot of people have questions about. So I hope you enjoy that conversation. And before we dive into the conversation, I want to tell you about our sponsor of this episode, Gardenuity. Gardenuity creates custom grow kits of herbs and delicious veggies that are tailor-made for you and your specific weather. So in previous episodes this month, I've talked to you about Gardenuity, its amazing female founders, and its mission to set people up to successfully grow their own food. I've also told you about their awesome matching system, which is a fancy algorithm that analyzes your local weather down to your zip code and only offers you the correct herbs and vegetables that you can grow successfully in your area for the month. But today, I want to talk to you about the commitment that this company has to your success after your initial purchase of your kit. So some companies are going to sell you a plant and then forget about you, but not Gardenuity. They have their GrowPro service, which has gardening experts or GrowPro partners on call to help you troubleshoot any issues you have, either on the phone, via email, or through their 24/7 messaging system on their website. And this is throughout your entire grow season with whatever kit you purchase with them. So when I initially got my outdoor herb garden kit, which I have to tell you is absolutely thriving even throughout the summer heat, I actually ended up using their 24/7 messaging system on their website because I was having this issue with the tips of my chives turning yellow and I didn't know why. So I got paired with my Grow Pro partner, Lula. She's lovely. And I was just blown away with how quickly she responded, how she offered me to send her photos of my plant, and she just coached me so well. P.S. The issue was that I was overwatering my chives. Shocker, Maria, I love to water things. But in addition to that service, the GrowPro team also sends out emails with tips for caring for your garden kits, like watering videos, fun facts about what you're growing, and great blogs with recipes to cook food or make cocktails that are inspired by your grow kits. They'll also send you extreme weather warnings for your area. So this week I actually got an email from them saying, "Hey Maria, you're about to get a lot of rain in your area. Just to let you know, this is how your herbs should be responding." How amazing is that? I also have to say that I love that their herbs and vegetables come from farm partners, which they have really close relationships with, and I know they take a lot of pride in those relationships, and the farmers ship directly to you, which helps the herbs arrive in amazing condition. So get a little curious. To learn what you can grow, head over to gardenuity.com and type in your zip code and see what kits could be right for you in your home setup. I know that they are really excited about their fall lineup of herbs and vegetables. Use the code BLOOM at checkout and they will send you a custom gourmet garden-inspired sea salt that pairs perfectly with whatever herb or vegetable you choose. I would love to hear what you end up choosing and growing, so join my Gardenuity Grow Gang and let's grow together. All right, on with the show. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Alessia, my OG plant friend in real life. Welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
I can't believe it. We're here.
I know. We are here to paint a picture to our planty listeners. We are sitting on my couch. Alessia came over to my house. She trekked all the way to Long Island City, but we're starting our interview an hour late because we had to go through my entire apartment and I had to tell her exactly who I got every plant from, what its problem is. She had to diagnose like all the issues with my plants and coach me on them. So I am appreciative.
You have so many plants and they're all doing like really well.
Well, I killed a croton last night. So I threw the dead croton out before you came over. So plant fail, but
I would have never judged.
Everybody else is doing pretty good. They're killing it. Also, she's sitting on my couch couch, and my Monstera is right behind her, and one of the leaves has been, like, subtly hitting her on the head for the last, like, 15 minutes.
I would say I'm totally used to this. What am I kidding? Like, literally, my Raffadora just, like, hits my arm every time because it's, like, lounging over my computer screen, so.
I love it. You know what? That's the plant lady life. You're always going to have a little bit of soil on your floor, and there's always going to be some form of plant leaf touching you.
Every single time.
So I love that we just, like, dove right into conversation, but I love to just kind of introduce you. I feel like I've talked about you so much on other episodes of the show. I feel like maybe people might think we've been having an affair or something.
I mean, we're basically plant parent loves, like
plant parent lady loves.
Yeah, that's right. Like, it's been like, let me think, when did we meet? It was,
well, my podcast started in November, so it's right. Almost a year, and you were one of the first listeners. So
I remember, like, so since, like, I work from home, like, podcasts are like the caffeine for the ears for me. So I remember, like, browsing through Instagram, and I saw, like, Bloom and Grow Radio, and I was like, what is this? I was like, what's this?
Yeah. Is it about plants?
Exactly. Is it plants? Radio? What does that mean? And then I saw, like, podcasts, like, I think you were, like, coming soon, like it hadn't launched yet. And I was like, oh, this is what I needed this whole time. And, like, I was so excited. I was just like, since then, like, followed you, and I was like, I cannot wait to hear, like, what this is about, because I was like, the community is missing something, and, like, this was what it was for. Aww. Me. So I was like, always a big thanks, I was friend. Always a big fan.
And then I bullied you into being my plant friend by harassing you via DM on Instagram.
Never. I was so excited because, like, at the time, like, where Pelea peperomioids were, like, huge. Yes. Like, selling, so hot right now. Big bucks. I was just like, okay, I said to myself, I was like, all right, I will be the the silly person who buys this Pelea. I think I had gotten, like, a big one from Germany at the
time.
Yeah,
Germany.
Yeah, it was insane. And I was like, okay, if I get pups from it, I was like, this is just so ridiculous. I'm just going to, like, when people ask about it, I'll, like, just give it out. And, like, I was just, like, giving them out. And, like,
that's
I
the just, spirit. Yeah. Of the
and, yeah. Like, I've met so many people and, like, have, like, actually formed, like, really nice friendships because of that. So that has always been, like, a really fun experience.
It's,
like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
And shout out to the Sill. The first time we met IRL, which is where I came up with the idea for the Plant Friends in Real Life hashtag, is because I had commented, and it's the same story that Morgan and Aaron told on the podcast, the founders of Houseplant Club, how they met. You had posted about your Pilea. I had commented being like, oh my God, I want one. Yes. And you were like, okay, I'll give you one. And so we went to, like, a Sill event. Support your local plant shops, friends, that's right. Plant friends. And we did, like, a DL plant swap.
I know. I loved it. We were, like, on, like, the hush-hush because I was like, oh, I got this Pilea for you.
Yeah. Technically, we're in a plant shop, and I'm going to give you something for free.
Yeah. It was, like, so creepy, but I loved every second of it.
So fun. But I don't know. I'm so appreciative of your friendship and just how our friendship has bloomed and grew over the year. And it's been so fun watching your Instagram account. So Alessia is the founder of Apartment Botanist. I don't even know how many followers you have now, but the thing I love about your account is you are so educational with your stories. You're always showing your followers what you're growing, how you're doing things. I mean, I've watched so many stories of yours and I've learned how to repot from you, or I've learned how to, like, get rid of aphids, or I feel like you're always dealing with some sort of pest outbreak.
You know, it's always an apocalypse somehow.
Yeah. So if you don't already follow her, Apartment Botanist, it's just such a great, your photography is amazing. And the stories are just so educational, and you're all about the plants.
Thank you. Thank you. When people ask, like, why did you start it? I'm always like, I actually just woke up and decided I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, long-term planning. It was just an outlet because I was at home working, and I was like, I need something, like, creative to do because, mm-hmm. like, I wasn't making sculptures anymore since being out of school, and I
because you're an artist and you have a full-time what's your company's name?
It's called Made with Laser.
Made with Laser. You have a full-time laser printing company. Mm-hmm. You make invitations. What else do you do?
I do a lot of everything. So
I mean, High-end design stuff.
Yeah, so I like design for artists, individual like freelance work for sign companies. I do like a lot of like party stuff, like so like invitations, creative things like that, and then also signs, and then just little pieces of artwork. And I've worked with artists, so it's a mix of like a bunch of stuff kind of rolled up into one.
And your Celestial Monstera pin,
yes,
enamel pin that's on my background.
That was like, I've always wanted to make like enamel pins, because like I always think, okay, what do I want to see and like what do I like, and mm-hmm. I'm like, because other people have to like it, right? And so I have a pretty nice collection of enamel pins, and I've always of course been drawn to like the planty ones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really want to do something that's inspired by like my own plants. Mm-hmm. And when I first got the Thai constellation, which is the variegated monstera, I always just thought, I was like, this is so beautiful, like, because the white specks looked mm-hmm. like stars.
Yeah.
And I just love, like, constellation and all things like that, and zodiac and, like, all those types of things. So I was like, how I would, like, combine the best of both worlds. So that's mm-hmm. where that idea came from, and I was really happy. It was a hard road to get to those pins,
yeah,
to get to them looking just how I wanted them. So I was happy, and like I got like such a nice response from those.
Yeah,
I'll be making more.
I love it, and your attention to detail is amazing.
Thank
it's because you're an artist, and that's literally what you do all day. So you work from home, mm-hmm. and you have this insane—I don't want to say insane. You have mm-hmm. this incredible plant Thank collection. So take us through. Have you always had plants?
Mm-hmm.
And when did the collection really start to grow? And how many plants do you have now?
Oh, gosh. The last time I counted, I had 165.
Okay.
But I've gotten some more plants since then. it's been a good summer with plant collecting and like crossing off like wish list plants. Mm-hmm. So that's been really awesome.
So take us back to where the plant collection started.
So I really started studying and like really paying attention to plants
mm-hmm.
Back when I was at School of Visual Arts in college, and I studied sculpture and digital sculpture there, and they had a course called bioart. So we were kind of going back to basics. So I was looking at like the plant, and like especially at like cacti and succulents, and like I was studying the form of them and translating that into sculptures.
Cool.
which was really a lot of fun, and just really experimental. And we were making terrariums, and I started bringing home terrariums then, and like making my own, and just kind of creating. But we used to live in a very sunless apartment,
mm-hmm.
And I was trying very hard to grow cacti and succulents, which of course need so much
right.
sun, and I was just like desperate, like the 1 hour of sun it got,
like hand moving it around the apartment all day.
Exactly. I was like, and then like overwatering, like all the mistakes,
mm-hmm.
all wrapped up in one big jar.
I love that.
But from then, when we moved from our sunless apartment to our very sunny apartment now, I still had like the cacti and the succulents, but I had a really bad mealy like breakout.
Oh boy.
I call it the great infestation of 2014.
Okay.
It was bad. I lost a lot of good plants. But I and that's when I probably started propagating the most, because I was like,
okay,
all right, I have to throw out this huge plant, but also I don't want to. So right. I'm gonna clean this as best as possible, take pieces, regrow the collection. And I do, and I actually still have plants from then that I grew from little cuttings.
Wow.
Like, and from that, I like waited a really long time before I introduced anything into the apartment, because I was so devastated losing so many plants. And I started, I got like the Monstera, I got a big Monstera deliciosa, which was like my first really big mm-hmm. tropical plant. And then Zeus's tail whapped it and it like destroyed all the leaves, but I still have
Zeus
it.
Zeus is one of your two pups.
Yeah. Zeus is my big Weimaraner.
You have a very big pup and a very little pup.
Yeah, they're really funny brothers. And both have like interesting personalities. They really are good with the plants,
mm-hmm.
Surprisingly. But Zeus's tail, when he gets happy, destroys all the plants. He's going to knock stuff over. Yeah, he still is destroying my other Monstera right now because it's like right in the WAP zone.
It's so interesting. You really started more with the desert plants like cacti, succulent, and you kind of slowly grew into the tropicals.
Yes, I still really do love cacti. I just think that sometimes the apartment does well with, the cacti do well in the apartment, mm-hmm. but not as well as they could do. I mm-hmm. think it's, my apartment gets too cold, like just in general, and especially in the winters, like it's not the most ideal situation. And then when I do have cacti, they're, you know, very stretched and they're kind of leaning. So I've started to phase out of the cacti and the succulent, just because, you know, I don't feel like they're doing the best mm-hmm. in my environment.
And you only have so much space.
Yes. optimal, like, window space. And I still have, like, because I face west and I do get really strong light, I do keep, like, right at the windowsill, I'll keep, like, the cacti and the succulents and, like, where I can kind of neglect a little bit because, mm-hmm. you know, I can't reach it as easily. Yeah. So, I optimize space in that sense.
Yeah. And I'm sure you'll send me some pictures. So, if people want to see what your apartment looks like, they can go check the show notes out at bloomandgrowradio.com/podcast. Mm. But explain for the listeners what your apartment looks like if someone hasn't seen, because you have some of the most beautiful big old windows ever.
Yeah.
So you have like, what, like 700 square feet?
Yeah, it's like 700, yes, about 700 square mm-hmm. feet. And so I remember when I first saw the apartment, I was like, sold.
Yeah, it's so nice.
We'll live here. I can grow the plants. Mm-hmm. But we were lucky with the big windows.
Huge, like yeah. not floor to ceiling, but you have two huge west-facing windows
yeah,
that kind of flood your apartment.
We're lucky, knock on wood, that they haven't built it yeah, in front of it. Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's pretty, yeah, so I face... I get really nice sunsets too.
I know. And you, so you have a disco ball. I know yes. you do. Brittany from I Have This Thing with Urban Jungles has one. What is disco ball plant connection?
I don't even know. You know, I'm trying to think where I've even seen, like where, like I first saw the disco ball. I think I just saw it when I was like buying plastic, like down on like Canal Street mm-hmm. and like they had like disco balls and I was like, I'm getting this.
It's so fun. Yeah, what do you call it? Magic hour?
Yeah, magic hour. It's a golden hour.
Golden hour.
Yeah, because sometimes, especially, like I have a big yellow shag rug. The apartment's a little weird, but mm-hmm. it's a big yellow shag rug. And then when the sun is setting and it's like just so golden. Mm-hmm. And I love like when you're in the hallway and you're like open our door and it's just like yellow just pours out.
Yeah. Because the disco ball really does reflect or mm-hmm. refract, whatever yeah. the word is, the sun like all over the apartment. It really yeah. is quite beautiful.
It's just like glitter. It's mm-hmm. like if you could put glitter everywhere without the mess, it would be having a disco
totally ball. That's totally what it is. I love that.
Yeah, and it's nice. And I'm like, I tell myself, I'm like, I'm sure it's helping the plant somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's extra light.
Yeah, just a little just a little like, extra twinkle for light. An hour or two.
I love that.
Gotta help.
So I wanted you to come on not only because you're my plant friend IRL, yeah. But because you really do a great job with having a really large and always growing plant collection mm-hmm. in a one-bedroom apartment. I mean, mm-hmm. it's 700 square feet. Maybe it's large for New York City one-bedrooms, mm-hmm. but it's still limited amount of space.
Yeah.
So walk us through, as you were growing your collection, moving from a few small succulents to, you know, these larger, you have a couple of large Monsteras, mm-hmm. you have that large Raphidophora that kind of climbs all over the place. What was your strategy with growing it? Mm-hmm. And you are an artist, so you have a real visual design aesthetic. So take us through kind of what that looked like for you.
So the first really complicated portion of having the plants in the space with limited space is that I also work from home. So having
right, and you work from home.
Yeah, so having the laser machine with all the material and then our, you know, the computer desk section and then all the plants, it's just like having all of that is where it gets the most complicated for me. But how I've try to tackle the best I could limiting space or having limited space is that I figure out kind of like, what are my, you know, top plants that I want? What do I mm-hmm. want in the space? Because I don't like telling people, because I'll get a lot of people asking me, like, what's, like, the best plant for an apartment? I'm like, well, any
what's
any
your
plant.
Apartment
yeah,
look like?
Yeah. Yeah, well, of That's course, a it's tough like, question. What's your apartment look like? Like, what do you have to offer for this plant? But also,
how often
like,
are you home?
Yeah. Right? It's just like having a puppy. You want to figure out, like, how can I best provide for that plant? And if it's absolutely you cannot find an answer, then, yeah, then look, search for something that's a little bit better. But what I like to do, because I clearly like a lot of plants, mm-hmm. is, you know, I never there's never a plant I say no to these days. But I try to, I work like my way out. So I start at the window and okay. then kind of slowly back away from that. And that comes along with knowing the plant that you have. So like mm-hmm. knowing like the nickname or the scientific name, like always helps so that you can do like a little online research. Of course, ask. There's so many people you can ask now. Mm-hmm. It's great. Ask the, like, what kind of needs? Like, oh, when you see that same plant someone else has grown that looks fabulous, ask them, like, how are you like, achieving this success with this plant? And go
yeah,
from there.
Yeah, DM someone on Instagram until they respond to you, just like I did.
I know. I still, I mean, like, I, like, for sure, I don't think people realize, but, like, I still ask my questions all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, I'm so grateful for, like, the people that I get to chew their air off all the time about, totally. Like, advice. Because it's, to me, it's, like, interesting. I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I can then share that advice, too. So when, so that's, I would say, like, kind of, like, step one is, like, knowing and understanding your plant. Because that's going to help you optimize your space in your apartment and, like, where you're going to put it. So in my case, I have, like, a lot of succulents and cacti. I think I also have my, I don't think, I know. I put my my fiddle leaf fig kind of all at the window because I yeah, know they can tolerate.
High light.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even though my fiddle is a little pissed off at me. But still okay. It's still, it's just kind of like about that like adjustment period.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you got this. I believe in you, fiddle.
You can do it.
You can live at this window. So I try to like figure out, okay, what's going to go there? And then like, you know, what my arm reach can, mm-hmm. can actually get, because that's important because I have like a desk there and you right. know, there's things of course, like in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I start to figure out, okay, if I have a desk here, if I put a shelf, you know, at the sides, okay, now this, since I face west, and of course this is just going to be, you know, always know your light as well, like where you're facing and like what window is facing what. So because I face west, I also get a little bit of like northwest and southwest.
Mm-hmm.
So plants that need a little, like can tolerate even more sun, get put on the side of the apartment that is facing the southwest.
Right.
And then
the strongest light.
Exactly. And then ones that can tolerate a little bit, just like bright and direct light, just like kind of, you know, just like room light. Mm-hmm. those get the side of the northwest.
The north-facing window.
So I have, like, some alocasias, I have some ZZs that, like, face, like, the northwest. Like, some things that can, like, just tolerate, like, that kind of light and be totally fine.
And just for listeners, just because mm-hmm. this was something I didn't know when I was beginning, rule of thumb with windows mm-hmm. is southern exposure is the most light, mm-hmm. then western, then eastern, then northern. So mm-hmm. if you have a northern-facing window, it's going to be much less light than southern. And that's yeah. that's how Alessia is laying it out.
Yeah. And then mm-hmm. also, if you are like northern facing, I know begonias do really, really.
You're the begonia queen.
Really? Am I?
You
I
have don't so know. Many begonias.
I do
in
have
your
a
bedroom.
Lot of begonias, but I didn't realize that like I had that many.
I'm scared of a begonia. I think really? I'll, yeah, I think
I'll give
I
you a
it.
Cane begonia.
Oh gosh.
Really, the cane begonias, like the polka dot ones mm-hmm. and like things like that. Like they're tolerable. Like I neglect them and they are living. Yeah, the begonias are not as bad. The ones that I think probably that you hear some horror stories are from mm-hmm. like the ones that really need that humidity. They
yeah.
like, need to live in a dome or they need to like be in a terrarium.
Yeah.
Those are probably the ones that
yeah, and I'm going to ask you a bunch of humidity questions in a bit, but I have a few more questions I yeah, want to ask absolutely. You about your setup. So mm-hmm. you just hit a couple of things I want to say again because I think they're really important. So mm-hmm. I think, and I know that we all go through this moment of becoming a plant person where sometimes you're like in the plant shop and you can't help but buy the plant because you become so obsessed with it. But I think it's so important to stress, you really do need to understand the care of whatever you're bringing home, mm-hmm. Especially if you want to be like a responsible plant parent that's going to grow your collection. And listen, we've all done it. I did it this month. Like, we all have that moment where we're like, no, I need this. I'll make it work. I swear, I'll do anything. But I think it's important to really understand that. And I love that you say mm-hmm. you start at the window and build out. Because, like, for me, I have three smaller windows. And you've seen, like, I've crowded all my plants in my windows. And now I'm like, okay, I can't really get any more bright highlight plants mm-hmm. unless I buy more grow lights to mm-hmm. support it, which, like, I'm a grow light queen, so maybe I will. But that's really important. Like, I can't buy any more succulents for my apartment or they'll die because I can't put them anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing I want to ask, when your windowsills are built up, how you use your wall space, because you really use your wall space. So let's talk about shelving, your strategy for, like, building your shelving. If you have any particular shelves or companies you want to plug, or let's spill the deets. Oh, how do people keep growing once you fill, if people are ready to, like, take the responsible step to keep growing their urban jungles, how would you suggest doing that and building something that looks pretty?
Yeah, so once I think you've filled that, like, the optimal light space mm-hmm. up, so, like, the front of the window, you're like, okay, how can I possibly get more plants in? So that's when you start to go to the sides.
Right.
So I remember it's got to be over a year ago now. I was like, hey, Micah, you want to get these shelves for me for Valentine's Day?
Micah's the boyfriend.
Yeah, he's like, cute, romantic. Sure, whatever. So we bought these shelves, and I actually got them from World Market at the time.
Oh, cool. Because
I wanted something to look like, I wanted it to be natural, but like a little industrial, mm-hmm. because that section of my apartment is sort of industrial because I work from it. Yeah. It has a machine in mm-hmm. it. It has my desk. It has my computer. So it's like...
You want it to fit.
Yeah. So it's like a little tech. It's a little industrial. And, of course, plants.
Do you recommend World Market? I've never used them.
I really like their stuff. Okay. It's not like... it's not like it'd be like West Elm, mm-hmm. but it's really nice.
Yeah, and they have more variety. People have told me, right?
Yeah, they have nice stuff that's like modern, but a little like rustic. They have a nice selection.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
we'll link to everything Alessia talks mm-hmm. about, or if I mention anything, we'll link to everything in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And people ask me a lot about those shelves too, so I really like them, and they come in like walnut and like a maple too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so anyway, so I got those, and I had one of my, it's my blue neon piece, mm-hmm. and that's actually something I did in college. It was actually part of a sculpture that I did that had like saltwater fish and like starfish that I made. It was like a glass, and that was the blue light was for the fish. But I was like, okay, I'm gonna put this up here because I just thought it looked cool. And then I got the two shelves there, and I put my alocasia mm-hmm. there, and it actually loves that blue light. So
really?
Yes, yeah, so that blue light.
What does it say again?
It doesn't, the blue light in my living room doesn't say anything. It's just right. kind of a swirl design. Right. But the one in my bedroom is hashtag BFFL.
Right.
So it's appropriate because plants are my friends. That's cute. And that was a piece I did that was like in relation to like betta fish and like mm-hmm. kind of, it's supposed to be cheeky, obviously.
I love that. I think it's so cool though when people mix a neon light, because people mm-hmm. have, you know, Hilton Carter has like the neon light that says home, and like, yeah, you right. have your neon light, and like plant, you know, people have one that say plants, or like they make a lot of neons. I've seen them at Urban Outfitters that are in the shapes of cacti.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But I think it is really cool to mix plants with other things. Like if you mix I love like those fake silver cactus, or like to mix plants with crystals or sculptures or mm-hmm. something, or light, something to just kind of make aesthetically like a little, to give it a little bit more texture, right? Yeah,
it's interesting because I've always, I wish I could, I want to make another neon. I really love neon art mm-hmm. in general. It's just a really tedious process, and like yeah. the people that do it who specialize in it are amazing. Mm-hmm. It's
It's fabulous. Expensive too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was it was a grant, so like that was given to me do it. So it was a really like it was an honor to like be able to like kind of create these pieces that like you normally would never be able to create. And like creating your own neon sign is just awesome. So the one that's actually in my bedroom is it's a blue glass that would normally be filled with like mercury gas, but it's filled with neon instead. So when the light is off, it's just a blue glass, but when you turn it on, it turns into like this pink purpley color because of it's lit with neon. But I like to think that it helps the plants. At least I have plants that are underneath it, like I have the calatheas because it's kind of far from the window, and I like to think that they help produce some type of something that helps the plants. I don't know for sure, but I like to think it.
I love that. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Do you have any other shelving recommendations or suggestions or hacks?
Yeah, I would definitely a mistake I made.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please tell.
Yeah, a mistake I made with my bedroom shelving is I was so dumb. I put it right, so that it was backlit from the window. Like, I put it next to my window, like, instead of, like, on the wall. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
So you put it next to the window where there's actually no light. Instead of a wall opposite of a window
exactly.
Or adjacent to a window, so the light, okay.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I think at the time I was like, oh, I'll just put, like, grow lights, and it would be fine. But I was not putting enough grow lights there, and I was a big old disaster. And I was like, okay, you are my bookshelf.
Yeah.
So I've definitely failed. I'm like, I just did not think that one through all the way. I was like, so silly of me to do. But my other ones are put like so that they face like northwest and southwest. So it's like perfect. And
you have you repurposed other shelves? I feel like you've repurposed other things as shelves.
My dresser.
Right, your dresser.
No, I actually, I go to a lot of like estate sales and like thrift stores and flea markets. So I'm constantly just like looking for things that I can make work or just unique items. Like a lot of my propagation vessels are thrifted. And I recently found from an estate sale this like white plastic shelf. It must have been like $5. And the thing's really big. And I was like, this is perfect. And I replaced what I like had, which was kind of like a couple of like makeshift stools that I had like teeter-tottering plants on. Right. It was totally not safe. So I replaced that with like this shelving unit. And it's in my bedroom, and I have to kind of redo that whole section thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of my, and that gets like front row window space. So And that's really great because it's so big, I get to put, like, a lot more plants.
Yeah. And don't you also have little baby shelves where you put, like, one pot on them? Yes. What are those floating shelves?
Those are, I think I just got them off Amazon. And you know what they were? They were little shelves to, like, display, like, action figures and, like, figurines and things like that. Huh. And I was like, ah, so plant shelf.
I loved that because you kind of use them. They're really small. Mm-hmm. You kind of built them up the wall and you were able to put... I don't know how many you bought, but there were like three different plants.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really creative way of using like the vertical space in your wall too.
That was really like, I was so happy when I found those little shelves because I can't hang anything from my ceiling because it's cement. So you need to get like a drill and like then.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, my management would hate me anyway. So I can't hang anything. So I'm like, how do I get as much space as possible?
Right.
So simultaneously, I'd also purchased these terracotta pots from this artist that was selling via Urban Outfitters. And you can link everything. I'll send it to you. They were so cute. They're so tiny. And I was like, simultaneously then also purchased those little shelves. And I was like, match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And they work really well. And I have just like a couple of like dangling plants. And they work
or
really
if
well.
You have like maybe pilea pups you're repotting, like anything smaller, like plant cuttings you get from friends that are like you're waiting to kind of root and grow a little bit more.
Yeah, I usually use those as like transitional. So like when I have like water propagations, I'll put them in those little pots and like kind of put them there because they're still getting a lot of light and like I can still water them and I can monitor them because they're kind of right by my computer. So it's like a perfect like system.
I love that.
Yeah.
I loved the tip of going to antique sales and estate sales and repurposing things. Have you repurposed anything else that you've like been so proud of yourself for seeing it and like understanding that it would work in your space?
Yeah, I actually have my grandmother's, well, I guess I didn't find this at a thrift store, but I repurposed it. It was my grandmother's old sewing machine. And I recently finally repainted it. And I was so excited about that. And I actually keep a small little terrarium that I'm trying to grow some seeds, but I think they're not living. But I am attempting to grow seeds in like a little section, like kind of under my TV. So like little space.
That's adorable.
Yeah, but I love that sewing machine. I have like my other like printers in it, so it's both functional. But now that I painted it, it's a really pretty like teal color. So it's really nice against like the big yellow rug.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah. And to have like a little piece of your grandma with you and to have your like plant passion tied through with it. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. I really liked doing that. It was like a long time coming. I was happy I finally got to like really make it a nice piece. But in general, like I love going to the thrift stores like around the city, like the Housing Works.
Housing Works for New York City people is great. And any of those city thrift stores, I find you can always find a pot or two in there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Or a bowl you can repurpose.
Yeah, I think the best thing I found was actually a copper watering can. Mm. It's so pretty.
That's awesome.
It's so pretty. I like. I love it so much. I try not to use it because I don't want it to like rust or anything.
Yeah,
but I'm
ironically, copper,
I know.
Yeah.
So I just I found some really nice pots, like some just like vintage pottery, and that's always it's just always like more unique sometimes. So, you know, if you have the opportunity to go to an estate sale or go to a flea market or go to a thrift store, go.
And you're always going to get something that's completely unique that isn't going to be replicated. I'll also say too. We built an entire bookshelf out of wine boxes in my apartment, and I have little air plants displayed in it. It gets a lot of light. It's like 3 feet from my southern facing window, but it's fun to like stick little plants in throughout all the different holes we've kind of created in the bookshelf. So there's a lot of like fun, crafty things you can do.
I love this bookshelf so much. It's so pretty. I was staring at it before.
Yeah. Billy made it. I'll put a photo in the show notes. Billy made it for me for Christmas 1 year, but it's been really, it was fun. We built it together.
That's nice.
So it was like a really fun little crafty project us to do. But enough about me. Back to you. Any other tips about growing your urban jungle space?
Yeah, I think I might have to contradict maybe something we said earlier.
Oh gosh, like, hit
just
me
to
with it.
Just to add all the confusion on. I especially this summer, because I've gotten so many new plants in the apartment, I would say if there's a plant you really want,
mm-hmm.
get it. Like, don't think too much about it.
Okay. don't overthink like me. Yeah. I'm like, I have to read 5 blogs about each plant before I buy it.
Yeah, because, like, you can get it, and, like, sometimes you just never know mm-hmm. what's going to work
yeah.
until you do it. And it's okay to experience some plant loss. You may want to experience plant loss with some plants that you can replace easily,
right.
not some of the rare ones, but you know, just there's never really a plant I say no to. I kind mm-hmm. of take it in, and then I can dive into the research and figure it out, and I'm like, okay, I have this responsibility now. And you end up learning a lot more, because now you actually have the plant, and
yeah.
you can see the roots and feel the texture, and you figure out, like, okay, you know, you start experimenting, but not in, like, a bad way. You start experimenting in a good way, and you're teaching yourself.
Yeah, I love that. So it pushes
challenge.
You.
Yeah.
It pushes you to think outside. Mm-hmm. And you do your apartment, you have all phases of light. So if you bring yes. something home, you can rearrange something. You definitely make stuff work, for sure.
Yeah. There's rarely a time. I'm experiencing it now with some of the more intense care. Well, I should say just more of the difficult plants, like the anthuriums. I'm experiencing.
Yeah, you're definitely like 2.0. You're like in 201 or 301 plant lady now.
I still feel like I was making, like, just such crazy. Well, I shouldn't even say crazy. Just, like, such simple mistakes that everyone makes,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I still make them all the time. Like, my biggest thing that I always do is, like, put plants in pots that are too big. Like, that's you learn that so quick, and I still am like, this has big leaves, so I'm putting it in a big
right.
Like, it's so silly, but I do that all the time. And
wait, I love that you said that, though. So let's talk about plant fails then, because
yes.
this is something that definitely I think needs to be talked about more. Everybody, no matter how successful you are, and no matter how long you've probably had a collection, like, you're probably going to kill a plant ever so often, and that's okay. So make us all feel better about ourselves.
Oh my God.
What are your, like, most recent, or maybe what's a plant fail you've really learned from lately?
I think the plant fails that it's, I know everyone wants to know, it's the foot.
Yes.
It's the
Tell
foot.
Us about the famous foot.
Oh, man.
Now, for those listeners who maybe haven't seen it on your Instagram, because it's been
yes.
the star of your Instagram this summer, tell us what exactly the foot is, where you ordered it.
Okay, so the foot is a variegated banana tree
mm-hmm.
that I ordered from a site called Best Price Plants, and
mm-hmm.
I remember when I ordered it, I think I was in the car with Micah, and it had to be like 6 a.m. we were waiting to go into an estate sale. It was really early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, Micah, do you think this is a real plant? Do you think this is a real plant company? He was like, yeah, it's probably fine. And then I figured out they were in Georgia. I'm like, okay, fine. I believe them, I guess. I called them on the phone too. I was just being super delirious at 6 a.m. And I ordered the variegated banana tree. It was the most expensive plant I had purchased. It was a little over $100. So it was like,
wow.
I was like, okay,
investment.
This is like, yeah, I was like, we're doing it. Like, I'm doing it. I'm getting this plant. And it was in the middle of winter. So mm-hmm. they were saying, like, okay, it's not going to ship until so-and-so. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm a mature plant lady. I have patience.
Right.
I can wait for...
I got plenty of other plants to
yeah,
tend to.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like, I can buy something else that will make the time go by as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up coming like a month early. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You guys told me that it was going to come like a month late, like,
right.
like later. So that it would be spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, it shows up. And it's in a tiny box. And I'm like, maybe it's a baby.
Right. But it's a tree.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess I would have.
$100.
Yeah.
So.
I'm like, I guess I was just like, you never know. And people who order plants online always know this. You're always sometimes surprised by the size of the box. At least that happens to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it was like, this is kind of a small square box. And that's odd for me since it's a banana tree. And I opened it up. And it was in a plastic bag, and I like it was like a stump. And okay. then I like rolled it over, like rolled open the plastic, and it looked like a severed foot.
Yes.
And that's where
you'll have to give us a photo.
Yes. Yeah. I will send photos. And it,
there was no leaves.
No, it was just the stump. It was like
$100 stump.
It was $100 stump, and it was like mushy and it smelled. It was, I wish like you could smell via Instagram, because like when you see the videos, and I have it on my highlights at the foot and then the foot point two or 2.0, it was, you could like almost smell it through the Instagram video. Like it wow. looked, it was brown, it was mushy. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess this is mine now. And thankfully everyone, because on Instagram everyone does pull through, like I got so many DMs like, don't worry, it's just the rhizome, I hope I'm saying that right, mm-hmm. Just pot it up, it'll grow, like that's how they are. And I'm like, okay, I trust you. This is also where a situation where I didn't do enough research before right. ordering the plant. But thankfully everyone came in to save me, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna pot this foot.
This stump. Yeah. I'm going to put it in soil and say a prayer.
I'm going to put it in soil. And it started to grow. And it only, there was a period of time where it only started to look worse because it really started to look like a bone mm-hmm. popping out. Oh my God. And so we just got like, it was, the DMs were a good place because it was funny. It was like zombie foot. And yeah. Like, what am I growing? And who's hiding the body? It was a great time. Mm-hmm. And it eventually turned into and grew into this gorgeous variegated banana plant.
Yeah. Huge.
Huge.
2 feet. 3 feet,
it,
right?
It hit the ceiling.
And it grew so quickly.
It was like within months.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I guess I have a giant plant now. Because I keep my plant size pretty small, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're big, it's because they've grown yeah. to that. And but I try to get in plants that are fairly mature, yet on the smaller side, because mm-hmm. that's what I can accommodate. So I wasn't prepared whatsoever for this giant, banana tree. And sadly, it was like, I was probably doing work on the laser because it was like kind of right over there. It was like kind of cascaded over my head, like by the laser machine. And I was working, doing something, and like it was like golden hour. The light was hitting it. And that's when I saw the webbing of spider mites. Mm. And I was like, no, you can't be true. And that began its downfall, its descent from glory. And I quickly, my routine then for dealing with spider mites was to unpot it, change the soil, stress the heck out of the plant. not on purpose, but that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And rinse all the leaves off.
Right. You wash. Like rinse in the bathtub with horticultural soap and yeah, all
I,
of it, right?
I use like the Dr. Brenner's.
Oh, Dr. Brenner's, yeah. Yeah,
like the peppermint one, and washed it. And I
my Soltec light just went off. Good night, Limey.
Good night, Limey.
Every night when I have my Soltec solutions light on, over Limey and Lemony on a timer, and every night when it automatically goes off, Billy and I go, good night, Limey. Good night, Lemony. Here, hold my microphone for a minute.
Yes.
I'm so not editing this part out. Shout out Soltec Solutions for being my normal light in my apartment.
That was
anyway.
That was a good timer. I have like one that's like hooked up to like a phone app so I can like shut it off. Like when I'm not in the apartment, because I'll just leave it on.
Oh, no, the timer is amazing. I like never think about it.
Yeah, I just have a camera. I have a camera watching my plants.
Oh my God, you're amazing. Well, you have dogs, so we'll just use that as your excuse.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yeah, it's for the that's for the plants.
Okay, wait. So back to the foot. So yes. Spider mites got yes. the best of it, and did the foot die now?
So yeah. So what happened right after is like it just started losing all its leaves because I clearly, and at the time I wasn't realizing it, clearly mm-hmm. stressed it out very yeah. badly. So it lost all its leaves, started to die back, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna behead it and like chop off, you know, the longer stalk of it, and hope that it will do, you know, what
it'll
it
come
did.
Back. Yeah. Right.
So I did that. It was repotted already. I could see some soil mites, which are different than regular spider mites. I don't know, like, a lot about the science mm-hmm. behind it or too much about bugs, but just the general that soil mites aren't as bad as spider mites, and mm-hmm. they're more typical for things that are getting more humidity and things that are decaying because they want to eat the decay.
Okay.
So I noticed that start to happen in the, you know, in the pot now that it was beheaded. And I put it under grow lights. I put a little dome over it to kind of keep it humid. And I kept the grow lights on it just all the time, like as much light as possible I could give it. And nothing, basically nothing had shown up in what seems like the whole summer. So just actually this weekend, I was like, okay, I was dreading it. I was really putting it off. I was like, okay, I'm going to go in there.
Right.
I'm going to go in that pot. Because sometimes when in doubt, you know, especially if you have a plant that you just like can't figure out what's wrong with it, see what's going on in the roots.
Right.
You know, that's just like a good like little rule of thumb. But I was dreading it because I knew it was going to be bad. And I unpotted it and it's a lot of mush.
It's a lot of mush.
It's a lot of mush.
R.I.P.
I know. So what I did, because like it had lost so many roots, I did repot it because I have slight hope.
I think it could be resilient.
It could, you know, you never know. And I put it in a different mix that has like, you know, a whole different, you know, my soil mix has improved since like just the beginning of the summer. So I put it in a new mix. I put it in a smaller pot. It's, I want to put it under the window, but right now I just still have it in grow lights until I can reorganize, but I don't know.
But you know what? I think that's important. I think plant fails are part of being a plant lady or a plant person. And you probably learned so much through the experience of... And the thing is, you also didn't necessarily immediately kill the plant. Like, it grew full out. And then spider mites, I mean... So I have some listener questions for you. This is a perfect transition just because a few people asked about the foot. Do you have, like, a procedure that you use for... bug infestations, because obviously with a large collection you're going to run into infestations.
I definitely I've had a huge issue, especially this past summer, with spider mites. And my biggest piece of advice is always to, when you're getting in a new plant, is to isolate it. You know, you give it that time to first off acclimate to its new environment. And that's also a perfect time for you to rule out if that plant came home with anything, like so many bugs or pests or anything like that. So,
and if you get a plant in from the mail too, because you never know what is in the nursery it's coming from.
People, you know, when people don't sometimes don't always realize, and I think I was victim of that, when you're ordering online, you don't know where it's coming from. And not meaning in a bad way, it could be coming from a greenhouse where it's a very controlled environment, or it could be coming from the outdoors where it's exposed to the, you know, the elements and the bugs and the pests. So always keep that in mind when you are like ordering online, you know, be a little forgiving in that sense, because I get a lot of people like, aren't you so angry? And I'm like, no, not really. Like, it's just, it's, it happens and you deal with it as it comes along. And then when there is an outbreak, I think, again, the best thing to do is isolate it. I always tell people right away, isolate that plant from the majority. And then, of course, check the surrounding plants, see what's there. Maybe you want, if leaves were touching each other, maybe you want to even isolate those plants just to be safe. Because I've definitely done that before. And I just monitor and I treat and go from, you know, go from there.
So isolate when you're bringing it home, and then when you realize there's an infestation, isolate, treat, and then isolate again before you reintroduce it to its old home.
Yes, and I've had some that were affected from the foot. The spider mites kind of, I guess, spread to those plants that were underneath it. And I've had those in isolation for so long.
That's a good point, too, because you should, whatever plant is infested, you should definitely look at the surrounding plants to see if the bugs kind of jumped.
Yeah.
Like, my scale from limey jumped to lemony snicket when I wasn't looking. It's fine. We're dealing with it.
It happens so quickly.
Yeah, I know. It happens so quickly. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I also wanted to ask you about your favorite topic to talk about. Something you've definitely preached to me about before is humidity. I feel like you're the humidity queen in your apartment. We definitely had some listeners write in with questions. So what's your favorite humidifier and what's your current humidifier setup?
Okay, so I for sure my favorite humidifier that I have is the Levoit. And I did a giveaway with them. They're really awesome. I ended up purchasing them on Amazon, and I think I have like links on my Instagram.
Perfect.
And I really like that particular humidifier because it kind of did the best of all the worlds for me. It has like a timer, and it has like cool and warm mist, and it has a big tank. And that was the big tank was really the selling factor for me, because my first humidifier was a Honeywell, and even though it worked really, really well, the tank was small, so it was just like it felt like a daily thing to have to refill the tank. And
yeah, that can be so annoying. Yeah, that can take up a lot of time.
Yeah, and then you end up just like not wanting to do it, and it's like, oh, why do I have a humidifier to begin with?
Right.
If it's something where you just need a little extra humidity and maybe not some strong of a mist, you can probably get away with something like that. And yeah.
Okay. So hot versus cool mist. Do you have an opinion on that?
So I mainly use cool mist all the time, especially in the summer. And I might experiment with the warm mist in the winter, depending on like how cold I feel like my plants are getting, like the ones closer to the window. But in general, I would probably stick to cool mist just to be safe.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So depending on your apartment and the heat and whatever probably the season, you can kind of experiment.
Yeah, I'll try to do more research, and of course I'll like try to keep people up to date on like what I'm doing if I discover anything,
right.
Any little hacks. But in general, if you are using warm mist on plants, I just wouldn't, for the fear of scorching plants.
Right.
You want to be careful, because like I've had mine get very hot, like when I've tried to use, like when I've used it when I'm sick or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's real. Okay, great. And in terms of troubleshooting and experimenting, what about where you're putting the humidifier? Because I know some people get worried about the walls getting moist or the carpet getting wet. Like, what's your strategy with placing humidifiers?
I actually get this question often. My humidifiers are placed in spots that are above the ground, so they're raised. I have one on a like broken plant stand, and it's I also have just like a scrap piece of wood, so one's on there, and the other one is on also elevated on like a piece of furniture that isn't so great anymore. And because I can change the direction of the nozzles, I try to get them kind of like in an open area so that it's just either cascading over plants or, just kind of like out in the open mist and not necessarily hitting a wall. If you're in a position where you absolutely like you don't have much option because you don't want it to stay focused on a plant leaf because you can really create some other issues there. Or, you just have to have it hitting the wall or bouncing off the wall, I would suggest like kind of putting like a makeshift like bumper. So like go to a craft store or a hardware store and get like a piece of plastic or a piece of glass, like maybe like from an old frame or something like that. And, adhere it to the wall so that you can like then bounce the mist.
Okay.
Off of. Yeah.
I love that. So number one, you should never be having the mist like going straight onto the leaves. It should be kind of like going over and kind of cascading on top of them.
Exactly.
But say you need it to be in this certain area that's close to the wall to put like glass up against the wall to kind of protect the wall. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And then, I would make sure it's like
a picture frame or something.
Exactly. And just kind of make sure it's like, if you are doing that trick, like make sure it's like flat up against the wall so that you don't have any
condensation slip under.
Exactly. Because I've definitely run into issues with like thing like underneath the terracotta pots where like moisture will slip in under, and
yeah,
that try to use things that aren't super valuable to you when you're putting like a plant on it or a humidifier on it.
Oh, we've all had that moment where we put the plant on the wood and it got warped.
Oh,
and then your roommate gets very mad at you.
Yeah.
I've definitely had that moment.
Yeah.
Plants need coasters. Sometimes
they need like some sort of like cork or coaster or plastic. I another like hack, like if you have like a humidifier on like a desk, even if it's not like a treasured piece of furniture, and you still just want to protect the livelihood of that furniture, you can always get the like plastic from the hardware stores. I'm sure Home Depot has it. I've seen it at the little mini hardware stores around the city. And it's like usually on like big rolls. And I think of it as the picnic table plastic.
Totally.
But I don't know if anyone else refers to it.
Kind of stretchy, but not really. But it's definitely like water repellent.
Yeah. Like you can it's movable like plastic.
Yeah.
I hope I'm making sense. Or like another tablecloth with like the felt on like one side.
Yeah.
And like the plastic on the other.
Oh, those are good. Okay.
Yeah. That would be like a good like hack. But always check underneath things, make sure. And also make sure that you're not keeping your humidifier up too high. If you really need something that needs high humidity, I would really look into getting some sort of maybe tank, like at, you know, Petco is always having those sales, like the dollar per gallon, or, you know, if you thrift it or something like that, like maybe buy a tank and keep like a small humidifier in there that can run on low and really concentrate humidity within that tank for those certain plants, as opposed to putting your whole, you know, house or apartment up to, you know, a 90% humidity. I'm sweating just thinking about it. that's not ideal. You don't want to make mold and like other problems that you can run into.
That's actually a perfect segue, because the other thing I wanted to bring up, because I'm someone that I can't do a humidifier in my apartment. I don't have the space for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to push Billy any more than I already have with all my plants. So the other thing that you're the queen of is what I like to call orbs, but they're not orbs. They're domes.
Yes.
But like if you had a maidenhair fern that you knew needed a lot of humidity, like you could put it in some sort of open terrarium or use an orb dome on top of it. So the orb dome. I don't know. There's something like mystical and magical about calling them orbs. So why and how do you use the domes? Because you're like a huge I don't want to say advocate, and we're not like that deep, but you definitely use them a lot.
Yeah, I feel like they it was really at a convenience because I had them. I was collecting a lot of those like vintage domes from like estate sales and flea markets, and I was using them to display other collections that I have, which were like the dried coral, also collected at thrift stores and flea markets, etc. And like slowly as I needed them, I started taking them away from those things and using them for individual plants. And that's a perfect way to really concentrate high humidity on one plant if that's what you have.
And you call it plant hospital too, right? Yeah, if you need to like resuscitate something.
Yeah. So I think back to when I was like probably like 8 or 9 and like the chia pets and
chia
and I could not get those things to work for me. Yeah. I had like a Tweety Bird one and I like could not get it to work. And we must have like read the directions or something. And I'm sure it probably had there, or we read it online, but it was like, try putting it in like a Ziploc bag or like a plastic bag. And so we did. And of course the seeds sprouted and grew, and it was a very ugly chia pet, but a chia pet nonetheless. Right. And so it was probably just like subconscious that then when I started getting into plants and I had, like, I think I had like a little palea come like in the dead of winter. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe if I like put this in, encapsulate it and give it like high, like humidity, it will help heal the plant. Mm-hmm. And it did. And it was just, I guess like I don't remember really reading it anywhere. It was just kind of like, oh, subconsciously, like the chia pet. It worked with that. It must work with anything.
I love that. And also like humidity, these are tropical plants. They in nature are in like much more humid environments than our apartments. So it is our responsibility to kind of figure out how to help them. So of course, like the plant, when you gave it more humidity, probably bounced back, or at least was able to bounce back faster.
Yeah, and it definitely did. And it encourages like more growth. And, you know, if you're mixing that with light, like you can get a really nice growing.
Yeah, your pileas are popping in your apartment with the humidity and the light that they're getting.
Yeah, they're getting big.
Where do you get the dome orbs?
Oh, so I mainly find the dome orbs. The dorbs. I usually find them at flea markets because they're just the cheapest there, and or at estate sales. And but I have found them. I had good luck finding them at like Home Goods, and I know IKEA now has one.
Home Goods makes cute ones. Yeah. With bottoms. Cork bottoms, right?
Like I have like two with the cork bottoms. Sometimes they get a little warped as they too much moisture.
Right, of course.
But hey, they work for what they need. I recently tried to like DIY with like the laser, like cutting some plastic and putting it together. And like I feel like if you go to like if you have anything in the area that cuts plastic for you, you could probably give measurements and like get something done,
get something made,
makeshift. If you're desperate for finding like a bigger dome type deal,
yeah.
And my most recent thing I bought was like a little mini greenhouse. So I'm gonna that I have to test out.
Yeah, stay tuned to Apartment Botanist Instagram to see the mini greenhouse that showed up the other day.
Might not work. It might work. I have no idea yet, but I hope so. So
oh my god, that'll be so fun to experiment with into the fall though, for sure.
Yeah, prepping for winter. But yeah, so mainly those stores, and I always tell people like just check Home Goods. It's usually a good place to find them.
Okay, I love it. I'm gonna get myself an orb. I love the idea of also being able to have it if you're like, this plant needs a little help, let's do it.
Yeah. And then recently, because I'm always making big mistakes all the time but especially I should say this summer with rotating plants in and out of domes to like kind of help them out or help them acclimate, I was kind of forgetting, oh yeah, you need to like let them air out and like you need to give your plants like good airflow. So I will on good days I'll bring like my fan that I have in the bedroom, I'll bring it out into the living room and kind of let the fan just like bounce all over the plants, and the plants like it's just good. And like also to remember to do that with like plants that you do have in domes, or plants that you do have in terrariums, like make sure that they're like getting
suffocate them, right?
Yes, because make sure they're getting good airflow and just air circulation, and that will also help with like pests, so that pests don't concentrate on things.
I love that. I want to ask one more question before our final question, because I know you're giving us so many good nuggets today. So what is your daily plant routine look like versus your weekly versus your monthly, if there's a difference?
Okay. So yeah, I definitely think there is. My daily, I would say, is checking over the plants, like really just looking at it, spending time kind of going over everything, seeing if I see any like little warning signs, maybe pest problems. So really just kind of surveying the plants and seeing what's going on and checking the ones that are in isolation, just to kind of keep monitoring them. And then my weekly would be, of course, like watering and again, like checking to see. I'm always constantly looking over my plants. So watering, checking over the plants, seeing if things have to be repotted. Not every week, but sometimes there are those things on the weekends that I'll do. And then monthly would be in the summertime, like fertilizer. And then again, like if things need to get repotted, give it a good time to like kind of rule out what you need to do.
Yeah. But I love that you're probably looking at least one plant a day, especially with 160 plants. Like maybe there's a corner that you look at, or like you can kind of work your way through it as well.
Yeah, I definitely keep...
That's a lot of maintenance with 160 plants.
Yeah, the problem children are the problem children are always more accessible visually.
Right, of course. So succulents, you're watering like once every 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I forgot I had this cactus and I had to water it the other day. I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm always apologizing to my plants. I'm like, I'm sorry. Oh,
totally. me too.
I always give like the problem children or the squeaky wheels always have my attention a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But then there are some that kind of just like do their thing and they're totally fine and I don't have to worry too much about it. But I still I'm always constantly checking and like making sure that there's no signs.
Yeah. And you also I find that you get into a rhythm. Once you find your like amount of plants that works for you, you get into a rhythm of like, right, this now feels natural. Yeah. But like for me, it's watering and fertilization day has always like, and has ended up this summer being Friday. Like I just know that's when I'm going to like really check everything out. And like you just kind of you do kind of settle a little bit, right? There's there's the beginning kind of craze and then you kind of like get comfortable with it, right?
Yeah, everything ends up being feeling like second nature and you feel, I think that's with every plant parent eventually starts to feel like really confident.
Right.
And that's why I've always said like, don't set yourself up for failure. If you're buying your first plant, don't make it a difficult one. Like make it an easy one. Like buy a cactus and like be successful at that. And like,
exactly.
Or a snake plant and like just feel like, oh, I can do this. Like if you set yourself up for failure, if you're buying that like, that trouble plant right off the bat and then it fails and then you feel discouraged. Don't do that to yourself. Like
And disclosure, the trouble plant could be a cactus for some people if you like to water. So know your plant person personality.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's really, that's been like really important too. And I've challenged myself too. And I'm constantly challenging myself with the types of like plants that I'm taking in, especially now, because the care is just so much. It's not that it's so different. It's just that you have to monitor so much more. Mm-hmm. And it's like you feel like a greater responsibility, but it's stressful at the same time because they are, you know, not your run of the mill plants. So right. It's a lot of like the anthuriums that, you know, you're seeing a lot now on Instagram. And like, I'm like, oh my.
Oh, they look like the most alien of plants with their crazy little heads.
They are so gorgeous. And yeah. And of course I'm referring to the anthuriums that are like, you're buying them for the foliage, mm-hmm. because I know the flower is beautiful, but like, I think.
Some of the foliage is just remarkable.
Oh my gosh,
I'm too scared of anthuriums. But
I'm gonna get her a baby cutting, and Billy's gonna yell at me. But I'm gonna get her a baby offshoot and test it out. But it's so satisfying when they are doing good and like when they are like sprouting new leaves, because also with those they start off so tiny and then they get so massive. Yeah. And the watching those grow, really, and it's been a challenge. I've killed so many plants this summer, and but it's okay. It's like that's the only way you can
learn. Yeah, that's how you're learning.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of information sometimes, so
yeah. Well, that's a perfect place to leave off, is why should everyone have a plant, and maybe kill a plant but then get another plant? Like, why do you think everybody should have a house plant?
I think everyone should have a house plant because they should challenge themselves a little bit and kind of embrace that challenge and try to learn from it, because it's really the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's such a foreign thing. A plant is really a foreign thing where, you know, it's not like taking care of a human. It's not like taking care of like a dog or a cat. It's totally just, they can't really communicate too well to you unless, you know, they're dying leaves or something like that. So it's a challenge every single time. And I think like it's good to have like healthy challenges that push you a little bit and make you stop and research and educate yourself on like what you're doing or what you're doing wrong or what you're doing right. And it's fun. I enjoy it.
I love that. And I love you, my plant friend. Thank you so much for sitting on this couch with me and nerding out a little bit.
I love it.
To go find Alessia and her journeys and the foot and the humidity and all of the photos. She also does an amazing series on her Instagram, Plants in Color, which is so beautiful. It's just, you're just such an amazing photographer. So Apartment Botanist on Instagram. And go check out her Monstera pins on Etsy, too. Is it like etsy.com/apartmentbotanist?
Yeah, it's you could do like apartmentbotanist.etsy.com.
Okay.
And I have everything linked in my bio.
All right, sweet. All right, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alessia. You are just the sweetest. Alessia also wanted me to mention that she's a partner in two other Instagram accounts. Furry Botanist, which is filled with adorable photos of furry friends and plants, and also Philodendron Fanatic. So go ahead and check those out if they interest you. And now for our Gardenuity fun herb fact. So not only are chives delicious in almost everything, I love snipping fresh chives from my garden to scramble into my eggs almost every day, but they actually aid in digestion thanks to allele sulfide, and they can reduce bad cholesterol thanks to the allicin and quercetin in them. And back in the olden days, Romanian gypsies used to use chives as part of their fortune-telling rituals, and they were also rumored to drive away disease and evil. So maybe it's not a bad idea to keep some chives around your household. I don't know. All right, plant friends, until next time, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram @bloomandgrowradio. And Plant friends, I'm here for you, so drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.